All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's begin, or let's continue. So we're picking up still in the first perek of Perek Shira. And interestingly enough, what you'll come to find, if any of you are following along in an actual Perek Shira text, so apparently there are different versions of Perek Shira that have different things recorded in different orders. So some have, we've already done Shamayim, we've done the heavens, we've done the earth. In some versions, the next thing that comes is the Midbar, is the desert. But the truth is we're going to use, which is the majority version, which is that the next section we have now is Gan Eden. Gan Eden is going to talk to us today. An exciting day ahead of us. So Gan Eden, what does Gan Eden say in number one, the Garden of Eden? Uri Tzafon Uvoi Seimon Hafichi Gani Yizlu B'samav Yavo Dodi Ligano V'yochal Pri Migadov. So the Garden of Eden is saying, arouse yourself, O north wind, and come, O south. Blow upon my garden, let its spices flow out. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat of its precious fruit. So what we're going to focus on, and again, obviously it's interesting that you have Gan Eden quoting a pasuk from Shira Shirim. So clearly the author of Perek Shira gives us insight into these various aspects of the universe by quoting these different psukim. So we're actually going to draw our focus to the last phrase over here, which is Yavo Dodi Legano, let my beloved come into his garden, V'yochal Pri Migadav, and eat of its precious fruit. So in order to go ahead and appreciate what it is that Gan Eden is trying to teach us, because remember again, in our approach to Shira Shirim, I'm sorry, not Shira Shirim, Perek Shira, so we're understanding that as every single part of nature calls out its praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a deeper message for us as well. The various parts of nature are trying to teach us something. So Gan Eden is conveying a message to us. What's the message that Gan Eden is conveying to mankind? So in order to appreciate that, first you have to spend a little bit of time speaking about Gan Eden. So remember again, we are introduced to Gan Eden in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis. If you take a look at number 3, the pasuk says, Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Ba'eden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a gan, a garden in Eden. So interesting enough, as much as we call it Gan Eden, it seems to be it's really two different locations. Eden was the general geographic area, and there was a gan. There was a beautiful space within this area of Eden, of Eden. That is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu places Adam and Chava. Vayosem Sham Es HaAdam Asher Yatzar. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu places Adam there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Adam, places him in Gan Eden. Which leads us to the obvious question, which is
why did let
man live where he wants to live? Let Adam and Chava figure it out on their own. It's a beautiful world in front of them. There's no lack of space. There's no lack of real estate opportunities for them. Let them live wherever they want. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them dafka to live in Gan Eden. There's something special about this area. Is it because it's the most beautiful? The entire world is beautiful. Eden is beautiful. Everywhere is beautiful. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka wants them to live there in Gan Eden. So the obvious question is why. So the Torah itself answers this question. If you take a look at number 4. Vayikach Hashem Elokim es ha'adam vayanicheu b'gan Eden la'avda u'lishamra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and takes Adam. Now remember, I want to point out over here, the word vayikach means to take. So the imagery we have is, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Adam into Gan Eden? Right? He picked him up and he put him in. If you notice again, Rashi, we've actually spoken about this concept in other shiurim. Rashi, whenever he sees the word vayikach in Chumash, always translates it as lakcho bidvarim. Lakcho bidvarim. Vayikach does not mean to physically take, rather vayikach means to persuade. To take someone with words, to persuade someone with your words. So the Maharal asks a very simple question. The Maharal says, one second, what does that sound like? Vayikach Hashem Elokim es ha'adam v'yanicheihu b'gan Eden. God took him with words. So what does it sound like is happening over here? So what does that mean? Adam has to be persuaded to go to Gan Eden. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to you today and said to you, listen, I'd like to take you to Gan Eden. Right? So again, I wouldn't even have to unzip my coat. That would be there, right, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished the sentence. Yet Adam HaRishon needs to go ahead and be persuaded, or needs to have a divine argument made. So the Maharal says, this is not our topic, but it's incredibly important. The Maharal says something amazing. The Maharal explains that in life, you know, you could physically be somewhere, your body could be somewhere, but your heart, your mind, and your soul are somewhere else. The truth is, you should know, most people actually go through life with this level of what we'll call cognitive physical disassociation, where very often I am physically somewhere, my heart is not there. And this happens all the time. This happens in life situations. There are some people who can never be present for the moment. They're always somewhere else. I'm here now. I wish I could be there. You know, when I'm at work, I want to be on vacation. When I'm on vacation, I can't wait to get back home. I'm never settled where I am. My body's one place. My soul's another place. In relationships, there are people who are physically present in relationships, but emotionally, cognitively, spiritually, are checked out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us that if you want to maximize your experiences in life, you must be present on all levels. You must be physically present, and you must be emotionally, cognitively, spiritually present as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have taken Adam, lifted him up, and put him in Gan Eden. What is Adam going to say? There's no recourse when God picks you up and puts you somewhere. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Adam to be vested in the Gan Eden experience. He wanted him to be there because Adam wanted to be there, not just because God wanted him to be there. This lesson, by the way, is so incredibly amazing on so many different levels. It's a pivotal lesson in chinuch, in the way we raise our children. There is a time to exercise parental authority, and a time to say, although you hear less and less of it today, right? But there is a time for a parent to say, you're going to do this because I told you to do this. It's amazing. Today, it seems to be the rigueur du jour is much more collaborative parenting. How do you feel about this? How do you feel? My parents never once asked me how I felt about anything until maybe I was 16, 17 years old. And I thank them for that, by the way. I thank them incredibly for that. Because had they asked my opinion on certain things, it would not have been good. It was fantastic that they took away my bechira in many different ways. But there's a balance. There's a balance. On one hand, again, I have to sometimes exercise parental authority. This is what you're going to do because you have to do it. Because you're a kid and you don't know better. So to allow you the freedom of autonomy when you don't know how to make correct decisions is like allowing someone who's under the influence of alcohol to get behind the wheel of a car. It doesn't make any sense. You might be a good person, you might be well-intentioned, but you're impaired. Some people are impaired because they drink too much. Some people are impaired because they haven't lived long enough. But the impairment is the same. You don't know enough to make informed decisions. But at the same time, we know as parents that any parent who always deals with their child that way, it's not good. It's a very unhealthy dynamic because everyone, every human being, including children, want to feel autonomy. So sometimes as a parent, you have to know when you actually give autonomy and when you create the illusion of autonomy. Then that is a very delicate balance, a very delicate balance. Why? Because if everything is with an iron hand, okay, my kid will do it, but ultimately, like the Piagetzner writes in his introduction to Chovas HaTalmidim, if you just instruct and you command, the child may do what you want them to do, but as soon as they leave your home, ultimately, again, everything that you taught them leaves also. But if you co-opt your child, if you collaborate with your child, bring them into the process, then ultimately, again, they become your partner in their own self-development. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing with Adam HaRishon. What he's saying to Adam is, look, I want to talk to you about something. I have a great opportunity. It's called Gan Eden. What do you think? And Adam HaRishon says, okay, well, tell me about it. Let me hear about it. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how the conversation is going to end because what else is Adam entertaining? Gan Eden, like, and New Jersey? Like, what is he choosing between? So there's no real choice. It's clear how it's going to end. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom, he's the King of Kings. He could command and you have to listen, but he chooses not to do it that way. He chooses to collaborate. He chooses to engage in a conversation. He chooses to co-opt Adam into, or to bring Adam in to the process so that Adam doesn't just enter into Gan Eden with his body, but he enters into Gan Eden with his heart, with his mind, with his soul as well. So why Gan Eden? What was Adam Rishon doing in Gan Eden? By the way, it's a very, very, very important question. Because Gan Eden is the utopian society. Remember again, we use the word Gan Eden to refer to what? To Olam Haba, right? We use the word Gan Eden very interestingly enough. Gan Eden is a physical place, or at least, I'm assuming still is, but at least in the Torah says that it was a physical location, a geographic location. We use that phrase to refer to some type of utopian existence, whether it's Olam Haba, where we go to after we die. Yemos HaMashiach, the Messianic era, is also sometimes described as Gan Eden. So this is an interesting question to try. So tell me, what happened in Gan Eden? What was so great about Gan Eden? What is so magnificent about Gan Eden that we think about it, we dream about it, we go there after 120, Mashiach comes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what did Adam HaRishon do in Gan Eden? La'avda u'lishamra. La'avda literally means to work it, to work, to, I guess to work, we'll see what it means to work. U'lishamra, and to guard it. So the Mefarshim here, bless you, the Mefarshim here go in many different directions in trying to understand what this actually means. And this is very important. What happened in Gan Eden? Not that Adam HaRishon was there all that long. Remember again, Adam is created on day number 6, placed in Gan Eden in day number 6, and is expelled from Gan Eden before the day is over. But obviously we also know that the days of creation are not 24-hour days like we have. These days could have spanned decades. These days could have spanned hundreds of years. We know Cain and Hevel are also born in Gan Eden. Adam meets Chava in Gan Eden. There's a lot that happens in Gan Eden. So what happens? What was Adam Rishon doing in Gan Eden? So he writes in number 5, V'tam la'avda la'hashko sagan. So here, the Ibn Ezra says, la'avda literally means to work the land. Adam, there's no free ride, no free lunch. You're in Gan Eden, guess what? You are the chief gardener. You're the chief gardener. You are in charge of maintaining the gan. Lahashko sagan, to irrigate the plants, to water the plants. Ulishamra, what does it mean to guard it? Mikalachayos sheikansu sham v'yitnefu. This is interesting. And your job is to make sure that the animals do not come in to eat the vegetation. So the Ebenezer has a very simple understanding. La'avda means you have to work, you have to actually work the garden. U'lishamra, and you have to guard it that animals should not encroach on this area. The Targum Yonasan understands it a little bit differently. Actually, if you skipped, so remember, Targum Yonasan was written by Yonasan ben Uziel. Yonasan ben Uziel, the Gemara says, was the primary Talmud, the chief disciple of the great sage Hillel. So the Gemara says, Yonasan ben Uziel was so holy that when he learned, a fire would emanate from on top of him, that if a bird would fly over him while he was learning, the bird would be incinerated in his fire of Torah. That was the greatness of Yonasan ben Uziel. He wrote a Perush, a commentary on the Torah, in Aramaic, for that was the vernacular. So number 6 is Targum Yonasan. 7, someone wrote the Hebraic translation of Targum Yonasan. Let's just take a look at number 7. Vayikach Hashem Elokim es ha'adam e'hara avoda makom shenivra misham hara moria vayanicheyu beginaso shebe'eden lios oved betora belishmor mitzvosel. So the Targum Yonasan takes a different approach. First of all, he adds in something very interesting, which Rashi also quotes, which is Adam HaRishon was created from dirt. Right? Remember again, this is the very name of Adam. Adam etymologically could come from one of two places, either Adama or Adame, right? Am I earth or am I someone who mimics HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Adame lekel elyon, as the Pasuk says. So what earth is Adam HaRishon created from? The Targum Yonasan quotes that he is created from the earth, the dirt, from Hara Moria, the future site of the Akedah, the site of Yaakov Avinu's dream, and the site ultimately of the Beis HaMikdash. That's where he's created from. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings him to Gan Eden. Why does Hashem bring him to Gan Eden? So La'avda u'lishamra, says the Targum Yonasan, for what purpose? Lihios oved batorah v'lishmar mitzvosav. So the Targum Yonasan understands to work the land and to guard it in a spiritual sense. Not in a physical sense. Adam HaRishon was not charged with physical labor responsibilities in Gan Eden. Instead, his job was to cultivate his spirituality. La'avda, to work on his own personal spirituality. Oved Batorah, work on Torah, v'lishmor, and to keep mitzvos. So what this means, what Adam HaRishon knew of Torah, what he didn't know of Torah, what he knew of mitzvos, okay, that's a detail we don't have to get into right now. The point I'm trying to highlight to you is you see a dramatic dispute amongst the commentaries. You have the Ibn Ezra understanding that La'avda al-Shamra means that Adam HaRishon was primarily preoccupied with physically tending to the needs of the garden. He is the chief gardener. La'avda worked the land, L'Shamra guarded from animals. Targum Yonason and many others, no. La'avda L'Shamra means spiritual pursuits. Spiritual avoda. His job was to work on his own personal spirituality, to learn Torah, observe Torah, learn mitzvos, keep mitzvos. Fine. And again, the Mefarshim God, the Chizkuni, also brings this down, but skip to number 9. But I want to share with you an incredible idea about Rav Chaim Paltiel. Rav Chaim Paltiel was a contemporary of the Maharam of Rotenburg. He is born in the 1200s. He dies in 1300 in France. So he is a contemporary of the Maharam of Rotenburg. We're familiar with the Maharam of Rotenburg. Forever, you know, Maharam was the one who died in captivity. So Rav Chaim Paltiel wrote an incredible perush on Torah. And he says as follows. He makes an amazing observation. And he says, La'avda'u l'shamra, to go ahead and to work, literally to work and to guard the land. V'im tomar, so Rav Chaim Paltiel asks a dikduk question. What's his dikduk question? V'im tomar, v'hare gan, lashon zocherhu, uksiv aleha, lashon nikeva. So, interesting, Rav Chaim Paltiel asks a very interesting question. He says, the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Adam HaRishon in the gan la'avda u'lishamra, to work it, right, and to guard it. Avda and shamra are nekeva, are feminine. The word gan is masculine. The pasuk should have said la'avda u'lishamra, to go ahead. Again, the translation to English is the same, but instead of being written in the feminine, it should be written in the masculine. It's a good question. And he says something amazing. He says, you're right. Because the pasuk is actually comprised of two different messages. Semicolon. God places Adam into Gan Eden. Why is Adam in Gan Eden? La'avda u'lishamra. To work it and to guard it. But to work it and to guard it, says Rav Chaim Paltiel, is not referring to the Gan. It's not referring to the garden. What is it referring to? Take a look at number 9. Middle of the first line, right after the comma. V'yishlomar, dimusav adila'el, v'yihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. He says, this pasuk is a continuation to that which came before it. Immediately before it, the pasuk says, that man becomes a nefesh chaya, a living entity, with a nefesh, with the soul. V'hachi kamar, this is what the pasuk means to say, v'yanicheyu began eden, la'avda, Ulishamra hanefesh. Says Rav Chaim Paltiel something amazing. When the pasuk says that God placed Adam in Gan Eden la'avda ulishamra, it doesn't mean to work and to guard the garden. It means to work, to cultivate, and to guard his soul. Right? The neshama. The neshama is nekeva, is feminine. That's why la'avda u'lishamra ultimately is worded in the feminine. Not to work and to guard the garden, but rather to work and to guard his soul. So amazingly enough, what Rav Chaim Paltiel says, is now we begin to understand what was the role of Gan Eden. What was the purpose of Gan Eden? So Rav Chaim Paltiel says Gan Eden was a place where man, it was like an incubator for spirituality. It was a place where a person could work on his or her soul. It was a place where a person could cultivate their spiritual identity. And now we begin to see that La'avda l'shamra goes on the soul, but also the various opinions, the Ibn Ezra, the Targum Yonason, it's not an either or. How does one cultivate their spirituality? So there are varieties of ways that one cultivates their spirituality. Of course, first and foremost, how do you cultivate your spirituality? Torah mitzvos. Okay, that's what Targum Yonason says. What are you doing in Gan Eden? What are you doing in Gan Eden? You're going ahead and you're working on your Torah and mitzvos. You're feeding your soul.
But Torah and mitzvot, and I want to be very clear on this, is not the only way to cultivate their spirituality. How else does one cultivate their spirituality? You know, I want to tell you something amazing. Rav Kook brings this down. The Ramchal brings this down. I should have put this on the sheet. But listen to this for just a moment. The Pasuk says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is creating the fruit trees. So when God creates the fruit trees, what does the Pasuk say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create Eitz Pri Oseh Pri, which means fruit trees which produce fruit. So Rashi HaKadosh says over there, according to Gemara, that what was the way it was supposed to be, so to speak? The fruit would taste like fruit and the trees would taste like fruit, whatever that means. What happens when the fruit trees are actually created? So it says Eitz Oseh Pri. It was trees which produced fruit, which is as we have it today. The fruit tastes like fruit and the trees taste like? I'm assuming trees, right? Whatever trees taste like, right? So Rashi says something amazing. Rashi says that you see the earth disobeyed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the commentaries jump all over that because that's illogical. Rashi must mean something different because the earth doesn't have free will. The earth can't choose to obey or not obey God. Obviously, what's happening over here is HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol had one thought in mind with creation, and then he, so to speak, changed his mind. He changed the plan. Originally, it was going to be fruit trees that taste like fruit, and then it was trees that taste like trees, fruit that tastes like trees. So why? What's the pshat? So you have a number of mafarshim, like I said, Rav Kook, the Maharal, the Ramchal, in his introduction to Derech Hashem, who all essentially say the same idea, which is, the idea of fruit trees, which taste like fruit, represents a unit of absolute completion. Everything is perfect, harmonious. Everything is sweet. Everything is good. The tree tastes nice. The fruit tastes nice. The world is in a state of completion. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol says, no, no, no. You know what? Here's the way this is going to go down. I am inviting man to partner with me in the completion of the world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to create a world that by definition is incomplete. Why? Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu create a world that's incomplete? To give us the opportunity to partner with him in the creative process. Or as I've heard stated, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an imperfect world perfectly. The idea was, it's imperfect by design. And it's imperfect by design because at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu invites us, come, partner with me in the creative process. Help me make the world just a little bit better, right? Don't we have this with, we do this as parents with our children as well. We want to give our children many, many, many things, but I can't give them everything because if I give them everything or just hand them everything on a silver platter, they never learn how to partner in their own self-actualization. There are certain things I'm going to give them, but I'm going to leave certain things unfinished for them to finish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the same thing. I'm creating a world. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. But there are inherent imperfections. But those imperfections are by design so as to allow you to partner with me in the creative process. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Adam HaRishon into the Gan, and he sees the Gan, and what happens? What happens if you're Adam HaRishon and thinking to yourself, God created this incredible, beautiful world. What's your expectation? How are you going to get dinner? It's going to show up on your plate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand. God, you did everything. So I'm assuming you're just going to finish the job. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, Adam. Here's the gun. Welcome to the gun. Right here, the keys. Right? Enjoy. Enjoy it. And by the way, you have to work here. Right? You want to eat? You have to work. You have to engage with me in the creative process. No. You can't sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. You have to work. Adam la'amal yulad. You have to do something. Because when the soil remains untilled, and the soil is not plowed, the soil is lacking, is not actualizing its potential. You, I created this HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need you, Adam, now to partner with me and to bring life from that soil. So says Rav Chaim Paltiel something amazing. Adam HaRishon is in the Gan to work on his own spirituality, to cultivate his neshama. The Gan is a spiritual incubator. through which man is to partner with God in order to ultimately result in man's own self-actualization, in man's own discovery of his own potential. How does man discover his potential? A two-pronged process: learning and working. Go ahead and learn Torah, do mitzvos, but I want you to get your hands dirty in the world, and in a literal sense. I want you to feel the soil beneath your fingers. I want you to perfect the world. I want you to do something. I don't just want you to recede or to go ahead and pull away from the world and let me, God, do all of the work. I want you to till the soil, and I want you to learn Torah. I want you to go and do mitzvos, and I want you to fundamentally shape the physical circumstances of the world around you. It's this incredible synergistic punch. And by the way, just understand, you now begin to see why Gan Eden was really Gan Eden. Because if you notice, isn't this the very struggle which we deal with to this very day? Should I be the person who is fully engaged in Torah mitzvos, or should I be the person tilling the soil? Well, Torah's Torah. Tilling the soil is important also. You see, for us, we live in a world now, the post-Gan Eden world, is a world where often these things butt heads. And it's difficult to find that medium. It's difficult to find that coexistence. In Gan Eden, they were not contradictory. In Gan Eden, you were a spiritual being who pursued Torah and mitzvos, and you partnered with God to better the physical world. In the post-Gan Eden world, we struggle with finding that balance between our involvement, in Torah and spirituality, and our involvement in the general world. In Gan Eden, that was not a contradiction. In Gan Eden, there was this beautiful synergistic partnership between the two. But what comes out is that ultimately, again, Gan Eden was all Rav Chaim Paltiel says, La'avda u'lishamra, to cultivate, to nurture the soul, and ultimately lay the groundwork for self-actualization. So the question now becomes, beautiful, fantastic, makes us want Gan Eden even more. There's only one problem, which is, we're sitting here in this social hall, right? Beautiful social hall, wonderful, but we're not in Gan Eden. So now the question is, so how do we recreate this experience? Obviously, the beauty of Gan Eden was La'avda u'lishamra. The beauty of Gan Eden was the incubator for spirituality. Gan Eden is gone. Gan Eden is gone, at least for now. Gan Eden is gone. But yet, the overwhelming part is, Gan Eden is gone, but my responsibility is the same. In other words, La'avda u'lishamra was not just Adam HaRishon's responsibility. La'avda u'lishamra is mankind's responsibility. So Adam HaRishon at least had the gift of Gan Eden, where he could learn, he could work. Torah, mitzvos, on the soil, he had everything together. I don't have Gan Eden, but I still have to go ahead and create this self-actualization incubator for myself. I still have to grow. I still have to nurture and nourish my neshama. You understand that when people ask, we all wish we were born like with a post-it note on our forehead, with the life to-do list. Here are the things you have to accomplish in order to be a successful human being. How incredible would that be? And the truth is by design of Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do it, because part of life is figuring out, why am I here? And I don't mean here at the shir. I mean why am I here in this world? What am I doing here? Most of us choose not to think about that question, because the truth is, the good news is, we're busy enough not to have to think about the question. That's the best part, right? I'm running all over the place, so I actually never have to think about why I am here. But I want to tell you a little secret. Everyone, the question catches up with everyone. Some people it catches up with them when they're 30. Some people it catches up with them when they're 95 on their deathbed. But everyone has to ask and answer that question. The machovaso ba'olamo. What am I doing here? And of course, it's a different answer for each of us. But big adol, kind of like on a panoramic level, the one answer that applies to all of us is, I am a body which houses a soul. That's my identity. My primary identity is my soul, is my neshama. It happens to be encased in a physical shell, because the only way for me to interact with the physical world is with the physical body. But my neshama is the primary aspect, the primary part of my gestalt, of my identity, of who and what I am. So what's my job here? My job is to nurture my neshama. That is my job in this world. How do I nurture my neshama? There's 613 different ways that you can nurture your neshama, right? Every single mitzvah represents a way that you nurture neshama. Torah, chesed, avoda, tefillah, all of these things. But that's our job. our job is we each contain a spark. Chelek elaka mima'al mamish, as the Balatanya says. A spark of divinity, a spark of God himself. And God says, I'm giving you the spark. Nurture it. Nourish it. Take care of it. So when Adam was in, and that's what Hashem is saying to Adam. Adam, I'm telling you. La'av dol b'shamra. Work, cultivate, nourish your spark. Adam has Gan Eden. We don't have Gan Eden. But yet the responsibility to nourish the spark is the same. So how do we do it? And I think what's unfolding over here, in this particular chapter, this section of Perek Shira, is Gan Eden is speaking to us. Isn't this amazing? Gan Eden is speaking to us. And Gan Eden is communicating to us this very answer. How do you live a Gan Eden experience when you don't get to live in Gan Eden? How can you take advantage of creating a Gan Eden-like experience of la'avda ulishamra, to nurture, to nourish your spark, to spiritually self-actualize when you don't have the privilege to live in the Gan itself? So Gan Eden tells us. Gan Eden itself gives us the answer. So the Gan Eden, I think, gives us a couple of answers. Let's take a look at number 10. So Gan Eden says, remember again, we're focusing on the last part of Gan Eden's statement, which is the pasuk from Shir HaShirim, Yavo Dodi Legano V'Yochal Pri Megadav. So ultimately again, so Gan Eden tells us, let my beloved come into his garden and eat of his precious fruit. So like most of Shir HaShirim, right, we're left wondering what? What is this talking about? Right, remember again, anything that Shlomo Melech wrote, like Kohelet, Shir HaShirim, most times, like, we have absolutely no clue what it's saying. Even Tehillim, David HaMelech was less cryptic. What does this mean? My beloved should come into the garden and eat of his fruit, eat of his precious fruit. Okay, sure, sounds great. Fantastic, sign me up. But what does it mean? So the Ashik says something, he's looking at number 10. So Gan Eden tells us, V'alkein toshiv amareh ha'ashchina elav yisparach v'tomar, yavo dodi legano b'sinai, Va'al yidei kein yushpu'u me'eilehen v'yocha pri megadav shel dodi. Heim ma'amorov yisparach aseres hadibros. I'm just going to read one more line and I'll translate. Sheheim ha'megadim ki heim asu peiros v'yochlam v'yekableim dodi. So the Alshech says something amazing. He says, quoting the Medrash, he says, looking at that last phrase in number one. Yavo dodi legano. Let my beloved come to his garden. Says the Alshech, what's the garden? The garden is Har Sinai. The garden is Har Sinai. The place of the greatest revelation that mankind has ever experienced. Sinaitic revelation, Matan Torah. Let my beloved come to his garden, the Ochal Pri Megadov, and to eat of its precious fruit. What's the precious fruit? The fruit are the mitzvos. The fruit are the mitzvos. The fruit ultimately, again, is we consume the fruit, but when we consume the fruit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu receives the pleasantness of the fruit. We are satiated by the fruit, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets such hanah, gets such benefit, gets such nachas when we are consuming the fruit as well. So the Alshech says something so beautiful. Yavo dodi legano, let my beloved, the beloved is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember again, in Shir HaShirim in general, it's not always clear who the beloved is referring to. Sometimes the beloved is God, sometimes the beloved is Klal Yisrael. According to most Mefarshim, actually it switches off. Sometimes it's God, sometimes it's Klal Yisrael. In this context, the Alshech says, Yavo dodi legano, let my beloved come to his garden, the garden being a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu descending upon Mount Sinai, the Yochal Pri Megadav, and allow us to eat. Literally, he will get the benefits of the fruit we consume. The fruits are the Torah and mitzvos. So says the Alshech something amazing. You could find Gan Eden. You could find Gan Eden. Eden is not lost. Where can you find Gan Eden? On a simple level, when you immerse yourself in spiritual pursuits, when you immerse yourself in Torah, when you immerse yourself in mitzvos, when you immerse yourself in the fruit of the Ribono Shel Olam, that's when you feel like you are in the garden of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth is, we know this. We know this because when we learn, and of course the learning experience is different for men than it is for women, but leaving that aside, when you learn Torah, you feel different. You feel different. And again, if somebody asks you to explain, why do I feel different? What do you feel different? Very often that feeling is difficult to describe in words. Why? Because it's not like before I was feeling tired, now I'm feeling awake. Before I was feeling, you know, lethargic, now I feel energetic. That's not what it is. There's a change that happens inside of me. I feel different about myself. I feel different about life. I feel different about the person sitting next to me. I feel different about my mishpacha. I feel different about mecha. I just feel different. And it's not just true with learning. It's true when everyone engages in a sincere expression of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the performance of a mitzvah, through the performance of chesed. I just feel different. I just feel different. So says the Al-Sheikh, you want Gan Eden? You want Gan Eden? You know, we can't make it back there physically. But if you want to reclaim some of the feeling of Gan Eden, eat of the fruit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eat of the Torah, eat of the mitzvos, and you will be able to feel Gan Eden. Next, take a look at number 11. The Medrash says something a little bit different. The Medrash says, so again, I just want to point out, that's what I think is unfolding in this section in Shir HaShirim. Okay, very nice. Gan Eden is praising God. Fantastic. Let my beloved come to the garden and eat of his precious fruit. So I don't think that's what's happening. I mean, yes, that's what's happening. But on a deeper level, Gan Eden is talking to us. Who's us? Who's us? We used to be there. Gan Eden misses us just like we miss Gan Eden. So Gan Eden is saying, listen, my precious children, I want to tell you how to reclaim Eden even though you can't come back physically right now. So number one is eat of the fruit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eat of Torah, eat of mitzvos, and you will feel within your heart, you'll feel within your soul a little bit of Gan Eden awakening inside of you. The Medrash number 11 says something different. Yavo dodi legano, let my beloved come to his garden. Listen to this. Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheyishra shchinaso beineihem. This refers to God, and God rests his presence amongst us. Shene emar v'shachanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. So what's interesting is as follows. The Medrash understands, yavo dodi legano, let my beloved come to his garden. What's the garden? The garden is me. The garden is you. The garden is all of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come back into your garden. We see this concept. If you take a look at number 13, I'll come back to 12 in just a moment. If you come back to number 13, if you go to number 13, what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, "Va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham." Again, in Chumash Shmos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the command, Parshas Truma, to go ahead and construct a mishkan, a tabernacle, which was the predecessor to the Beis HaMikdash. So what does the pasuk say? Make for me a mikdash, and I will dwell within you. And you're all familiar with the famous question, which is, why does it say, make from me a mikdash and I will dwell within you? It should say, asuli mikdash v'shachanti, I will dwell within it. V'shachanti b'socho. Sira HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the great secret. What's the great secret? It's true, it's incredible to have a mishkan. And it's incredible to have a Beis HaMikdash. But you want to know the great secret that has kept our people alive? Kept our people for the last 2,000 years? It's the great secret that Rav Hutner, Zecher Tzadik Livrachah, Rav Hutner was Rosh Yeshiva Al Chaim Berlin. But before that, he was a Talmud in Slabodka. He learned in Chevron. You know, it's actually an amazing story. Rav Hutner was learning in Chevron during the time of the 1929 massacre. He was saved because he went to Yerushalayim that Shabbos to be with Rav Kook. He was a Talmud of Rav Kook, or in his earlier years as well. And Rav Hutner, again, an incredible, like, once-in-a-generation type of person. And Rav Hutner was exceptionally gifted on many levels. What some people don't know, Rav Hutner was also an accomplished poet and songwriter. And perhaps, again, one of Rav Hutner's most famous compositions is the beautiful song, I'm not going to sing it for you, but in number 12, Rav Hutner wrote the words, Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. Rav Hutner wrote the words, In my heart, I will build a Mishkan, Lahader Kvodo, to give honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Over Mishkan, and in my Mishkan, in the Mishkan of my heart, Mizbeach Akim, I will establish a Mizbeach. Ulener Tamid, and for an everlasting light, Ekach Lias Isha Akeda. I will take the fire of the Akeda, Akedas Yitzchak, the fire of self-sacrifice. Ule Karban, and what's going to be the Karban in my Mishkan? Akriv Loes Nafshi Hayechida. I give you everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I even give you my soul. That's the Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. the power of the Jew. Is it beautiful to have a Beis HaMikdash? Of course. We daven every single day, 3 times a day, for the restoration of Yerushalayim. For the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash, of course it's what we want, with every part of our national fabric, every part of our being. But here's the incredible lesson, here's the incredible secret. The Bilvavi Mishkan Evneh. The truth is, even without a Beis HaMikdash, I have something to a certain degree, even better. What's even better than the Beis HaMikdash? What's even better than the Beis HaMikdash? The Bilvavi Mishkan Evneh. The Mishkan in my heart. The Mishkan in my soul. Because I yearned for a Beis HaMikdash for so many different reasons. But in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows me to construct a Mishkan, to construct a Beis HaMikdash within myself. Therefore says the Medrash something absolutely amazing. Yavo Dodi Ligano. Let my beloved come into his garden. What's the garden? The garden is you. The garden is me. The garden is each of us. The garden is the Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. Where is Gan Eden? Where is Gan Eden? Gan Eden is inside of each of us. And what Gan Eden is coming to teach us is something amazing. You want Gan Eden. See, the problem is, all of us are looking for Gan Eden. We're looking here, we're looking there. We're looking everywhere but inward. If you want Gan Eden in life, don't look to the right and don't look to the left. Don't look forward, don't look backwards. If you want Gan Eden, look inward. Yavo Dodi Ligano. What does this mean that Gan Eden is inside of me? So I think what Gan Eden, what the Medrash is trying to teach us, is that what Gan Eden really represents is finding inner peace. Finding inner peace in life. But how do you find inner peace? You know, someone just actually was talking yesterday, told me they found a great app for finding inner peace. I said, I think if you're using an app to find inner peace, I think you might have missed the boat just a little bit. So we're all looking for inner peace. Every single one of us is looking for inner peace. But the question is, how do you actually find... So you hear what's happening over here? The Medrash is telling me, Yavo Dodi Lagano. Gan Eden, the gates are locked now. We can't get into Gan Eden. We can't get into physical Gan Eden. But there's a Gan Eden that exists within each of us. There's a garden that HaKadosh Baruch Hu yearns to visit within each of us. There is the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, the tranquility, the inner peace within each of us. So how do you access your inner Gan Eden? How do you find your inner peace? And I'm sure there are many different answers to this. But I think on a very basic level, inner peace stems from the knowledge that I am leading a meaningful, purposeful life, and in doing so, I'm fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. I'm fulfilling the will of God. And in some way, somehow, making a difference. I want to share with you something amazing. This might sound, maybe some of you won't like this mashal, but for me, I find it very eye-opening. Have you ever noticed that in the Welt, in the secular world, what almost inevitably happens after people reach the pinnacle of career success? What often happens? I'm going to give you a little pop culture, right? What is Madonna doing these days? She's learning Kabbalah, right? She's learning Kabbalah. What is Tom Cruise, Lahavdil, doing these days? Right? Church of Scientology. Isn't that interesting? Right? Madonna apparently is a mumcha in Kabbalah. She's got tattoos. I think she changed her name to Malka or something like that. It's okay. I don't know that we need her, but all right, but it's fine. Good. You ever wonder, what does that mean? These people have more money than you could spend in multiple lifetimes. They have more fame than anyone could ever know what to do with. They're even people of influence. For some reason, you know, the craziest part of our world is that people in show business and celebrities, like, people actually care what they have to say, right? These people, many of them, are absolutely empty. There's emptiness that fills their head, but yet somehow what they say about politics or world issues, some people actually care what they have to say. Isn't it amazing? These people, the world is theirs. The world is theirs. So why is Madonna going to learn Kabbalah? Why is Tom Cruise joining the Church of Scientology? So, I mean, simple as, I don't know. But if I were to venture a guess, I would say because you know what? People go through life thinking that they're going to feel fulfilled when they get to a certain level. We do this all the time. If I had more money, I had a bigger house, I had this vacation, I had this possession, my family looked like this, my marriage looked like this, then you know what? Then I would feel fulfilled and happy. And you know what? A lot of times, Baruch Hashem, we reach those milestones and something amazing happens, which is, I'm still not happy. I'm still not fulfilled. Because what we discovered way before our pop celebrity culture discovered is, if you want to find your inner Gan Eden, that comes from the knowledge that you're living a meaningful life. It comes from the knowledge, ultimately, again, like we said before, that some way, somehow, through the way that I live, is an expression of the fulfillment of the divine will. That some way, somehow, I am making a difference. When you see unhappy people in life, I'm not a betting man, but if I was, when you see unhappy people in life, if you get them in a room and you get them to open up to you, I guarantee you that 9 out of 10 times, when you drill down to the root of their unhappiness, it's because they feel like their lives do not matter. They feel like at the end of the day, I'm not purposeful. What am I doing here? I go through life and I don't even know what it is that I'm supposed to be accomplishing. You want to find your Gan Eden? It's easy to find your Gan Eden, but it's difficult to take the steps to get there. Gan Eden, to find your inner Gan Eden, means the knowledge. To find that inner serenity stems from living a life of meaning, stems from living a life of purpose. But I want to give an important caveat. It's a life of meaning and a life of purpose as defined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as defined by Torah, as defined by Yiddishkeit, because there are a lot of people who seek meaning in this world, and they often miss the mark in a variety of different ways. See, the beautiful part that we, the beautiful thing that we have is our moral and spiritual compass is calibrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Torah. So you want to find your inner Gan Eden, you want to find your inner serenity, you want to find the Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, you want to find your inner peace. The only way you'll ever be able to find it is if you could honestly tell yourself that you are living a life of meaning, that you are living a purposeful existence, that everything you do in your life in some way is an expression of the Ratzon Hashem. If I can't say that about my life, and maybe some of us can't because we're not there yet, then I'm not going to find my Gan Eden. I'm not going to find that inner peace. And I'll feel in a constant state of upheaval and turbulence. Yavo dodi ligano. Let my beloved come to his garden. Not the garden of Harsin, like the Al-Sheikh said, but the garden is my soul, the garden is your soul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to come into our Gan Eden. You know, it's like the famous Kutzker. The Kutzker said, where does HaKadosh Baruch Hu exist? Where does God exist? The Kutzker said, anywhere you let him in. Anywhere you make space for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life and in your heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more than happy and more than willing to be there. But you have to cultivate, you have to nurture, and you have to nourish the Gan Eden within. One more piece, and with this we'll stop for today. If you take a look at number 16. So what we have over here is as follows. So far again, two approaches. And there are more, but because of time we're limited. Gan Eden is teaching us two incredible lessons. Gan Eden is telling us, my children, I miss you. And we say to Gan Eden, we miss you also. But what are we going to do? We're not going to be reunited today. Well, I don't know when we're going to be reunited, but whenever it is, we have to figure out what to do in the here and now. And so Gan Eden says, I'm going to tell you how to experience a little bit of me, even though you can't live with me. Yavo dodi leganov yochol primi gadav. The Ashik tells us, how do you experience Gan Eden? Eat of the fruit of the Ribono Shalom. Eat of the garden of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah and Mitzvos. Immerse. I know it sounds trite, because often we say the answer to everything is Torah and Mitzvos. But I want to tell you a little secret. The answer to everything is Torah and Mitzvos. Right? Now again, you have to know how to utilize it. You have to know how to understand it. But yes, actually the answer to most things in life is steeping ourselves in a spiritual lifestyle, is immersing ourselves in God's Torah, in God's mitzvot. It doesn't solve the problems, as we've said, but it absolutely gives you the tools to deal with whatever life throws your way. Immerse yourself in the fruits of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah and mitzvot, and you will experience a little bit of Gan Eden. The Medrash, Rav Hutner, Ultimately, Yavodo Dila Gano, Gan Eden is not something external. Gan Eden is something internal to us. Find your Gan Eden. What is your Gan Eden? Your Gan Eden is your own inner peace. It's there. It's waiting for us. We just have to become the kind of people who are capable of embracing a sense of inner peace. And that inner peace, again, only comes as a result of living a life of meaning, of living a life of purpose, of knowing that what I'm spending my time on this earth, doing something that is an expression of the Ratzon, of the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But one last lesson. Take a look at number 16. So I want to show you something amazing. I had one of these incredible Hashgacha Pratis moments. After my Daf Yomi Shir yesterday, someone came over to me and told me this idea. And he told me it was very beautiful. And then as I'm sitting preparing this Shir about Gan Eden, it mamish clicked. I thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much for sending this person right into my life. So watch this. Number 16. The Pasuk says, last Pesukim in Eicha, Hashivinu Hashem Elecha ben Ashuva, Chadesh Yameinu Kikedem. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, restore us to you, or literally bring us back to you, and we will return. Chadesh Yameinu Kikedem. So the way we normally translate it is, return our days as of old. But it could also be translated as, return us to Kedem. Return us to Kedem. Now what's interesting is as follows. If you are writing this pasuk, how would you write it? Hashivenu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva, Chadesh Yameinu. Le'eden. I mean Kedem. What's Kedem? Right? Bring us. I wouldn't want to go back. I want to go back to Eden. In fact, by the way, I dafka don't want to go to Kedem. Do you know what Kedem is? You know what Kedem is? Take a look at number 17. Vayishalcheu Hashem Elokim migan Eden la'avodes ha'adam asher lukach misham. So ultimately, again, says, so what happens? Adam and Chava sin. They eat from the Eitz Das Tovara. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes and expels them from Gan Eden. Vaygarish es ha'adam vayashkem mikedem ligan Eden. Do you know what Kedem is? Kedem is the place, it's east, but Kedem is the place where Adam and Chava go to after they are expelled from Gan Eden. That's where they go. Mikedem, Kedem, the Farsha point out, is not just the direction, but it's the name of the place. They go to Kedem. That's where they resettle. Kedem is the relocation spot. After they're expelled from Gan Eden, they go to Kedem. Esakruvim, Esalat, Acherem, Esapachas, this one's Derech Yitzchayim. Chesh Baruch Hu posts literally an angel with a fiery sword by the entrance of Gan Eden. So Adam and Chava can't get back. So isn't this amazing? Hashivenu Hashem Elecha ben Ashuva, Chadesh Yameinu Kikedem. Now again, The simple answer is Kedem doesn't mean a place. Kedem means past. Restore us as it was. Beautiful. But still, there's a better way to phrase the pasuk. Chadesh Yameinu Ke'eden. Chadesh Yameinu Ke'eden. Why Chadesh Yameinu Ke'kedem? Kedem for us doesn't have the best association. Kedem is the place again where Adam and Chava relocate after being expelled from Gan Eden. So I want to share with you something amazing. If you take a look at number 18, Elie Wiesel, Zichrono Livracha, wrote a number of incredibly important and must-read books. Most of them, you know, really focus on his experiences during the war. He actually wrote a number of other books that do not focus as, you have to understand something, Elie Wiesel was a child prodigy. He came from a prominent Hasidic family who was very close to the Satmarov. They grew up in Siget in Hungary, Romania. He was a child prodigy. They felt that Mamish, like he had the capacity to become one of the great Talmidei Chachamim of his generation. All right, so life had other plans for him, or he had other plans for himself. Circumstances occurred, but he wrote this incredible book called Messengers of God. And what he does in this book is he actually gives incredibly fascinating profiles into different figures in Tanakh. He does it with the Avos, with the Imos. So look what he writes over here. According to Jewish tradition, creation did not end with man. It began with him. So this simple statement is so amazing. See, when we read the creation narrative, so again, and this is the way the Mepharshim understand it. Man is the last thing. The creation of man represents the closing creation. So Wiesel posits, creation does not end with man, it begins with him. When he created man, God gave him a secret. And that secret was not how to begin, but how to begin again. So first of all, you'll understand the profundity of these words from a survivor, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed within man, not just the ability to begin, but the ability to begin again and again and again and again. You know, amazingly enough, what's the pasuk in Eicha telling us? Hashivinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva chadesh yameinu kekedem. What are we saying? Chadesh Baruch Hu, bring us back to you. And the truth is, we don't have expectations of getting back to Gan Eden that soon. But you know what? Give us the strength to just start over again. Just like Adam and Chava had the strength to start over in Kedem, give us the opportunity to start over again as well. Because sometimes the realities of our circumstances are so overwhelming. The difficulties of life sometimes bring us to our knees to such a degree that we don't ever know if we're going to be able to rebound. Of course we want to go back to Eden. And of course we want Mashiach. And of course we want Gula. But until that point in time, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva chadesh yameinu kekedem. Ribono Shel, gird us with the strength that you gave to Adam and Chava. You allowed Adam and Chava to start over again in Kedem. Give us the ability to start over again as well, no matter how many times we fall, no matter how many times we fail. Give us the strength to get back up, dust ourselves up, and begin over again. I'll show you something even more amazing. One of the Sheva Brachas that we say to a chazan and kala under the chuppah. Look at number 19. This comes to the Gemara. It's amazing. The same bracha we used to today comes to the Gemara Maseches Ksuvos. Sameach tisamach reyem ahuvim. So beautiful already. Right? Rejoice, beloved companions. Rejoice, beloved companions. Kisamechacha yitzircha bigan eden mikedem. Isn't that interesting? Rejoice, beloved companions, as you rejoice with your Creator, bigan eden mikedem. Why do you have to say Mikedem? Just say Bigan Eden. Right? After all, again, we're painting a picture over here. Chasen and Kala, you're like Adam and Chava. It's beautiful. You should have the Simcha like Adam and Chava had in Gan Eden. But yet we don't say. We say Bigan Eden Mikedem. Do you know what we're saying to a Chasen and Kala? Now, don't actually ever say this to the Chasen and Kala. But what we're really telling them is like this. Right now, your life is Gan Eden. It's Gan Eden. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. You're standing under the chuppah and everything is perfect. Your husband is perfect. Your wife is perfect. The lighting is perfect. The makeup is perfect. You love your entire family. They love you. Money's no issue because you pay for nothing, right? And everything is absolutely amazing. And right now it's Gan Eden. And Chasen and Kala, we hope that you have a life of Gan Eden. But at some point in time, you get kicked out of Eden. At some point in time, the Gan Eden existence ends. You know, it ends for different people at different times. You know, it's like that moment where the young couple has their first fight, right? And suddenly, what? You could behave like that, right? Or that's how you look when we're not out on a date, right? Or suddenly again, you know, when all of the smoke and mirrors are gone and two people live with each other and begin to see each other for who they really are. So, you know, after that first fight, the chasen, I can't tell you how many hours have been spent in my office at my shul with couples with that first fight. And again, the sky's falling. The sky's, and of course I have to hold back my laughter, right? The sky's, I can't believe they did this. I can't believe, right? Literally again, suddenly one thing went wrong because up until now it was Gan Eden. Up until now it was perfect. In Gan Eden, everything is perfect. In Gan Eden, everything is wonderful. And so we tell the Chasen and Kala, you should have a life of Gan Eden. But the time will come when you leave Gan Eden, the time will come when you leave Gan Eden. And what happens? What's the bracha we give to the Chasen and Kala? When you leave Gan Eden, whenever that is, whether it's the second day of Sheva Brachas, or whether it's a year into your marriage, or whether it's 20 years into your marriage, every couple leaves Gan Eden at some point in time. We give you the bracha that you should be blessed with love, Bigan Eden Mikedem. You should have the koach to rebuild your marriage. Because relationships always suffer setbacks. Relationships always encounter difficulties. But what makes great relationships great is when you have a husband and a wife, when you have two people who are willing to say, okay, we encountered a problem, we encountered a challenge, we've fallen, let's rebuild. Let's build ourselves back up. And you know what? We might never get back to Gan Eden, but I want to tell you something. Did Adam and Chava, did they find happiness in Kedem? We'd like to think so. They established their family. They had tragedies in Kedem also, right? But we like to think that somehow they found the way to move forward. Chasin and Kala, Sameach, Tisamach, Re'eim, Ahuvim, Kisameichacha, Yitzircha, Began Eden, and almost like we say Bekedem in like a whisper. Began Eden, Bekedem, right? Shebigan Eden. But you'll understand what I mean at some later point in time. When you leave Gan Eden, find the strength to rebuild in Kedem. And now if we link this back, with this I'll conclude. Perhaps ultimately this is what Gan Eden is telling us. If you'll notice again, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Gan Eden speaks to us, and Gan Eden says to us, Yavo dodi ligano v'yochal pri megadav. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat from the precious fruit. If you notice again, what doesn't the Pasuk say? It doesn't say Yavo dodi ligan Eden. It just says, Gan Eden says, Yavo dodi ligano. HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to the garden. Almost as if what Gan Eden is telling us is, Gan Eden is telling us, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to your garden. Where is your garden? Your garden is wherever you choose to create it. Your garden is your kedem. Your garden is what you rebuild in life. Your garden is what you choose to plant and what you choose to build, even when life does not go your way. A person can have a beautiful, blissful life, even if they're not living in Gan Eden, if they choose to maximize their kedem. Because kedem represents a whole variety of different things. Right? Kedem represents the circumstances of life that we control and the circumstances of life that we don't control. So what happens when I find myself living, kicked out of Gan Eden because of circumstances beyond my control? So what's my choice? What's my choice? Choice number one is I can always longingly look back at Gan Eden and wonder to myself, how am I going to get back there? And where does that get me? Absolutely nowhere. Or you can choose to make your current Kedem into your Gan Eden. You could choose to make your current circumstances into the best Gan Eden they could possibly be. And it's quite possible that my current Kedem will never be as beautiful as Gan Eden, will never be as magnificent. And for many of us, that's the reality. The Kedem of my present circumstances will never be as great as what the Gan Eden once was. But life is that fundamental choice. Long for the Gan Eden you no longer have, or make your current Kedem into the Gan. Make your current Kedem into the best Gan Eden it possibly can be. Yavo dodi legano. So Gan Eden tells us, don't spend your life longing for Eden lost, but rather spend your life into making your Kedem into your Eden. Spend your life making your Gan, whatever it looks like, into the most beautiful and fulfilling Gan you could possibly have. Gan Eden misses us, and we miss Gan Eden. But amazing enough, in Perek Shira, Gan Eden tells us how to recapture elements of a Gan Eden existence, even if you can't live there. Steep yourself in Torah Mitzvos, the fruit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Find inner peace and inner serenity by leading a meaningful and purposeful life. And don't spend your life trying to reclaim the Eden that is no longer, but rather cultivate, or I should say channel your energies into making your Kedem the most beautiful Gan it could possibly be. All right, stop here.